She's in a boob. Because she's my daughter, she likes boobies.
Fair call. Don't blame her.
Diaries of a Dyke.
Right, I'm joined by Anastasia and Samantha, and little baby Sasha as well. She's here. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hi.
Thanks for being on here. I really wanted you two to be the first couple. It's actually quite crazy how our paths crossed, hey? Well, Anastasia, I've known you for a while. We actually met through my ex.
Yep.
And then Samantha, we flattered together, and then you two ended up together. How crazy is that?
Well, actually, you two know each other just because of me, so you are welcome.
Oh, God, you had to kill it. I wanted it to sound a little bit cooler. When Samantha did move into my flat, we definitely connected on another level. She was a cool, she was such a cool chick. And then when I knew you two were together, I was like, yep, well done. Good match. Good match. But I just want to say, because I'll try and get through this chat as quick as I can, because I know little baby Sasha, she probably wants to wake up and have a feed and stuff like that. But congratulations on mum life as well. How old's Sasha now?
She's 5 weeks on Tuesday.
Yeah, coming up 5 weeks.
So cute. And I guess a question that a lot of people want to know for couples is, how did you guys meet?
She can tell the story she doesn't like the way I tell it. So, go babe.
Well, we're in a bar and
classic
in a bar. I held the door open for her and her friend as they were exiting the bathroom, and then I believe so the story goes, they were eyeing me up and wondering if I was into girls, and so they decided that they would sit next to the table next to us. I was with a group of people. I was actually kind of on a date with a guy at the time. We were kind of like double dating, so there was a few of us there, and yeah.
And then we showed up.
And then, yeah, they decided to start up a conversation because there was a group of them next to us, and I think that's how she kind of figured out if I was into chicks as well.
Mm.
And then, yeah, we exchanged numbers, and I kept her on her toes, so I didn't text her for a few days.
It was a long weekend. Okay, first, there's a couple of things that I want to
add. I wasn't 100%, you know.
add to the story. First of all, I was there with my bestest friend, and she's straight. She had her little curiosity with a woman and all that sort of stuff back in high school. I've known her for a very, very long time. And she, when your best friend turns around and says, I wouldn't mind going gay for her, talking about Samantha, you kind of make it your mission to make it happen. So originally we sat down and decided to see if she does swing certain way or not. So I was actually purely doing it for my best friend. And I was like, yeah, I will do this. I will make this happen. And after this, because we were there with a group of people as well, and I don't know how we decided that our group of people, we love them, they're fun, but this is more interesting. So we start talking to her and one of her straight girl friends who was, she made it a lot easier. She made it a lot easier. So we found a way to have a look at their reactions about the whole, like, I let them know that I'm here for passport in New Zealand, which was a joke for everybody. saying. One of her friends, she said, I was like, oh, so well, like, are you looking for a husband? And I was like, or a wife. I mean, like, you know, I don't judge. So one, like, it was really smooth. That was like, I don't know, 3 years ago. I was much cooler back then. Okay. And yeah, so she was, for some reason, I told my best friend, as in like, I appreciate that you like her. But let's be honest, like, you don't swing that way, so just leave it to me sort of thing, so, and I'll take over from here. So she was, Samantha was the first woman or the first person who I've ever given my number to without them asking. So, and it was either Waitangi Day or something like that. So her straight friend was texting me and sending me boop Snapchats and all that sort of stuff. Oh my god, she might be watching this.
That's
all
right.
So she took 3 days to text me.
Ooh, okay, which not isn't, 3 days.
It's not that long. I know. Yeah.
I have an ego.
Yeah.
I'm from Russia. There was a lot of self-love going on over here. Well, you to take 3 days to take it. Well, seriously, when she texted me, I didn't even know who it was.
Oh, whatever.
How many bloody numbers did you have?
Yeah,
nobody. I knew exactly who it was, but I was just playing it cool. I'm kind of open. Like I don't play. I'm not gonna play games with you. Like if I want to text you back straight away, everybody knows that my phone is all the time with me. If I'm not busy and if I'm interested in person, I will text you back straight away. I'm not gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna wait for 3 days, and I was like, all of that shit is already like 10 years behind me.
I didn't do that on purpose. I'm busy, like living my life. You know, and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready. I only recently just come out of a 7-year relationship. I was like, am I ready?
And she swore off girls as well, apparently. That's what I found out after that. So that's why she was on a date with a guy, which I didn't know about at that time. But seriously, I wouldn't care either if you're on a date or not.
She would still make a move.
Yeah absolutely.
And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah.
And now here you are 3 years later, you're together.
Engaged with a baby and a house, yes.
You know when you're a bit older, though, and you've been there, done that, and you've done the long relationships or many relationships, and you're at that age where you're like, well, I know what I want. So that's hence why we spent those many nights when we first started dating, just talking about things that we wanted and didn't want in life. And so you suss that out pretty quick, because otherwise it's kind of like, hey, 30s here, like the clock is ticking and I've got things that I want to get done. Like, are you on the same path or am I wasting my time? Like,
Samantha, you were in the 7-year relationship, so I guess coming out of that you were like, okay, you've put 7 years into something else on the side that never worked out. So you would have the attitude where you were like, okay, I know what I want. This is what I want. I don't have another 7 years to kind of trial it. So I guess that was like a good attitude for you both to go into. And because I know that Anastasia is the same, like when she wants something, she knows what she wants and she'll go for it. So I guess it was good, like you having that experience in that relationship coming into it, you would have grown and just knowing what you wanted. Do you think that helped?
Yeah, definitely, because it meant that I'm not afraid to like say what I want and cut it off if it's not going in the right direction. Because like, don't get me wrong, like if I had a break, like it was a good relationship, I loved her and everything, but we were heading in different directions, and that's something that's terrified me, like to get to that point and then realize that actually you've grown together but you're growing apart. You know, and you just kind of go, hang on a second. So I didn't want to do that again. I was like, no, I'm setting this like straight away, like talk, because yeah.
But and it's still like, no matter how much you talk to somebody, it takes time to figure somebody out as well. You learn other stuff that you can't really talk about, and how to live with a person and how the person is goes about problems that you have, or you know, all that sort of stuff. So that takes time. So even though it was good because both of us were very much open with communicating with one another, I thought that I knew what I wanted a couple of times in my life, but I got exactly that, and after this it turned out that that's not what I needed. So I quickly understood that the whole what you need and what you want is not quite, you know, the same. So
look at you being a wise.
I know, why?
You're welcome.
Great job, Samantha. Great job.
You need a couple of more years, you.
I think, yeah, like you girls were saying, I think it's really important. And you learn, obviously, with relationships. But I've learned especially that if something's going to work, you're going to have to want the same kind of end result, you know, like you could be at different times in your life and have different things going on and want different things and need different things. But if you talk about it and you communicate and you can see that, you know, obviously your paths are going the same way and they're going to end up in the same direction, that, you know, you can make it work. But I've learned as you girls would know, no matter how much you love somebody or care about them, if you've got different goals, you've got different ambitions, you see your life going a different way, you know, maybe they've done this stage of their life, you've done another, you see yourself here and they see themselves there, themselves there, you know, it doesn't necessarily work. And that's okay. Like, it's okay if it doesn't work, but you have to know what you want deep inside. And if you can give that to the other person, like you two, obviously your goals, you know, were to be successful in your, like, in your respective careers, wanted a baby, you wanted marriage. So that's cool. They all align. And now look where you are. You've both grown. You've got a beautiful little baby. You're engaged. You've got your own house. So it's so cool to see. Don't smirk at me like that, you two. You'll make me cry. I'm so proud of you guys.
You're so cute, Denny.
You are cute.
Oh, you are You girls have been there through a lot of my things in life, you know, like all my fails and my successes and my heartbreaks and stuff. So I really, like, look up to you and admire you. So that's cool. I'm going to continue because otherwise I will probably cry. I want to touch back on Anastasia, how you were talking about, you know, growing up in a Russian household. You came over to New Zealand from Russia when you were how old? 12. You said 12?
13.
And I know, because obviously you've told me stories about, you know, how it was quite strict, and you actually didn't come out with your sexuality to your family for a long time, right?
I never really came out. I just got snapped.
Ooh, please tell. love a good snap story.
Oh, gosh. It's nothing to it, but I used to work in one of the bars, and we were dancing and bartending, and it was one of the probably the coolest places that I worked with, because a lot of the girls that I worked with, they were a very close group. But so obviously I used to finish when the bar closes, which is about 4 o'clock or something. So I brought a girl home. This is my parents' house, okay?
Classic Anastasia.
Classic. I mean, well, I don't know. So I brought a girl home, and of course I was like, okay, that's fine. We didn't even do anything, to be honest. So it was like me and my single bed. I got my first double bed, I think, when I was, I don't know, maybe 25 or something.
Wow.
From what I thought, it's like I sleep with her, and after us in the morning, I jump on the couch, and after us, we act like we're best friends, whatever the fuck it was. But for some reason, my mother decided to come in and say hello and ask me about my night, which she never normally does. So when she walked in, I've never jumped so fast out of bed. Like, I've never moved so fast in my life, okay? So here is me, and she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did I wake? Like, did I scare you?" And I'm realizing that she can't actually see the girl in bed. So, but she's speaking Russian to me. So obviously, the girl in bed, she has no fucking clue what's happening or what's going on. So she decides that it's going to be a good idea to move at that time. My mother's face dropped so quickly, and it wasn't traumatic. Like, I mean, me and my mom, we have this very, very special relationship. Both of us very strong-minded people, and even though I was growing up saying that I want to be completely opposite to my mother, I'm exactly like her. So having us in the same house is very dangerous under the same roof. So I think I got the stock with her, the way she reacted when she actually found out that I'm with a girl. It's you know, when they start crying and going, it's like, what have I done wrong?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that is, for me, I just kind of go, you are so much more than that. I can't believe that you actually responding like that. So I basically cut it short, and I was like, okay, can we just not do this right now? I will drop her off in the morning, and of course I'll come back and we'll talk. So that was a little bit of, I mean, we're Russians. In Russia, we don't have the luxury. Like, even when I was back in Russia, we don't have the luxury for gay people to just walk the streets the way we do here, or be out and proud and loud about it. Because, unfortunately, you still can get a hiding for it. Like, it's still not accepted, right? And I remember, when I started dancing back in Russia, my boss, he was actually gay, and he came out to me. And as soon as I found out that he was gay, he showed me in entertainment industry, who's gay, who's bisexual, who's lesbians, who's in a relationship, and all of those people, most of them, they are married to an opposite sex, they have kids, and you know, so, but they have this underground life that is completely unheard of unless you know somebody who's going to actually introduce you to it. So that was it. So, but for me, I was very disappointed with my mother because she had that reaction. And even though I should have acted, because it's obvious it's a shock for her, but after we spoke, talked it out and everything, she was like, okay, now you have to go and tell David about it, my stepdad. And I was like, okay, fair enough. So I go to David and I was like, David, I need to talk to you about something. And I just want you to know that I'm bisexual. And he looks at me, he goes, and? And I was like, I was just trying to, like, you know, get the courage to, like, have this conversation, difficult conversation with you. And you tell me that, you know, like, oh, it's just, yeah. But yeah, my mom, she's still kind of, I think, when she met Sammy, there was the first time when she started to accept it, and this is why I'm thankful to Samantha, because you just kind of go. For my mother, she was like, "Oh, well, why don't you just date a dude? Because, like, you know, if you were dating a woman who looks like a man," and I was like, "What? This whole, like, you know, the boxed up thinking."
Yeah. It's so hard because, you know, sometimes within yourself, you feel afraid to come out with your sexuality and be proud of it. But then also on top of it, you're trying to respect other people that it may relate to. Example, your parents, your grandparents, your uncles, aunties, friends, you know, you forget how much it affects everybody else. But fuck, it should just not. Like, honestly, it shouldn't. Who you're sleeping with and who you love just really shouldn't affect anybody else. You're not in bed with them. So I just don't know why it affects so many people. But Sam, I'll chat to you before little baby Sasha wakes up and you might need to go and feed her. Did your parents have the same reaction to you with your sexuality, or how did that go? Because you're a good old Kiwi, aren't you?
I'm a Kiwi. Just pause while she has a little moment.
She's like, hi, I'm here. Can I talk, please?
I'm going to have a hard time now just because I have to share my spotlight. Well, I have to share Sammy, first of all, now. Well, this little one, at least she's cute. So we're good.
Oh, she's so bloody cute, honestly. I want to chat. Should we chat quickly about the baby journey then? And Anna, maybe you can chip in, because this is something, of course, I realized why I really wanted you girls to get on this episode, because you're a gay couple and you have a baby. How amazing is that? 2020. Give it up for 2020. So, yeah, I'll let you guys take the mic and kind of explain how the journey started, how it went, and I'll chip in if I kind of want to ask any questions. But yeah, how did baby Sasha come about?
Well, like we had mentioned, we did a lot of talking about where we were wanting to, where our end goal was, I guess. And when I met Anastasia at the time, it was initially like saving for a house. Like, the house was like the thing, you know, when you live in Auckland, it takes a bit more time. And obviously children come up, and I've always wanted children, and Anastasia mentioned that she was wanting children as well. And she would come around to it, like, you know, like, it wasn't off the cards, because if it was off the cards, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah,
I would have said see you later, goodbye, pretty much.
People, that was an important thing.
Yeah, it is, definitely. You've got to talk about these things, otherwise, again, you've just, unfortunately, you'll just end up resenting one another, is what I believe. And anyway, I sort of done my research and whatnot in regards to clinics for both sperm donor and inseminations. And at the time, we were looking at about a 2 to 3 year waiting list for sperm. So by the time we were living together and we had traveled a few different places and stuff, and so when you were in a good place and we were both sort of looking for a house and everything like that, so we were kind of like, okay, why don't we just go in, we can go into the clinic, we can get our names on the list, and hey, if it takes 3 years, then at least we know we'll be ready. So okay. we before you
start with that. Yeah. There's a couple of things that is actually very, very interesting. Obviously, you have somebody in the States, for example. In the States, all the donors, they get paid for it, for sperm and stuff. Unfortunately, here or Australia, nobody gets paid for it. Mm. So therefore, that's why the waiting lists are so long, unless you have a friend or somebody who you know that will actually donate their sperm for you. So what we said, just because we thought that, okay, we might, they told us it's going to be at least 2 years.
Mm. Minimum.
Minimum, until you get profiles. And after that, if none of the profiles is up to your liking, you'll go back on the list and wait again. So at that time, there was, it's a very hard conversation to have with some of your friends or the people that you know. Can you be a donor for us? I'm the kind of person that I just say things, you know. I've had one of my really, really good friends. He was a singer on one of the cruise ships, and he's absolutely beautiful, African American. And he actually said yes. So now we wait for the donor on the list, or we actually try to figure out how to go to the States and get pregnant, or get the sperm here to get pregnant, like all these things. So there's a lot of puzzles that pieces that are moving.
Mm.
This day and age, it's a lot easier, and we completely understand it. So that's why we will be protecting our baby with everything that we have. But we're not stupid, so we do understand that there is people still out there who will be frowning upon having two mums or two dads, or you know, being in the same sex relationship and same sex parent. So that's when we start thinking, it's like, do we want our child to obviously go through that without really knowing yet? How do you raise a child without, like, I don't want my girl to be bullied. If she's going to get bullied, I want her to know how to properly address it, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have no idea yet. Like, we have no idea yet how to actually raise a kid, because it's our first child.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping that in mind, we're thinking, it's like, and also we're going to have a biracial baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how much, and this is the reality. How much pressure do you want to put on your kids,
mm-hmm.
being first time parents? You just go all out and just do it? Or do you actually just kind of take a seat back and afterwards just see what life brings you?
Mm.
There was an element of the fact that we still wanted her to look or resemble the both of us, just to hopefully make it a little bit easier, you know, if you're out and about and hopefully get less stares. And I mean, we'll find out along the way.
Mm.
But we kickstarted it off, and we decided that we were just going to go. We were in no real rush at the time. We hadn't found a home yet. So we were like, we'll get that clinic sort of stuff underway. And we did. And we went in, we did our tests and everything like that. You have to do blood tests, and they have to ensure that you're fertile and all of that before they agree to putting you on the list. I know what you want. What story Anna wants me to tell you, because I'm younger than Anastasia, and I'm class myself as quite fit. I look after myself and I eat well. And when we did get the results back, I wanted to go first anyway. I really wanted to have a child for a long time, and turns out that Anna is more fertile than I am, even though she's a smoker
and a drinker and just completely opposite to Samantha.
I was either way, they mentioned that I should go first anyway. So. And then through that first year, as you know, we ended up buying a house and whatnot. And then it was February last year, I got a phone call, and they had mentioned, or asked rather, because they knew that it had only been a year, that asked if we wanted to come in and have a talk, because they had found a match for us, and they thought it was a really good match and with what we were after. And I mean, we'd got our house, we're in our home, everything was settled, and we just thought, why not? Let's just go in and have this chat. Because you're supposed to do three sessions,
like counseling sessions,
mm-hmm. before you go ahead with it anyway. So we were like, that's going to potentially take a few months. Like, let's just go in and see what they have to say. And so we went in. They said that they'd do it a bit different for us because they were just really happy with the profile match. Mm-hmm. And so we were sitting down with the counselor and we had talked for about an hour. And then she was like, you know, you both have your life in check. You're both successful. You've got a home. Like, you sound like you've got your family situation sorted and you've really thought about it. All that talking, obviously.
Like, yes, two lesbians. Yes, we have time to plan. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then she just said, hey, look, this is the profile. I'm going to leave it here. We only have one. Usually they present three, but she's like, we just have the one. So just have a look at it. I'm going to disappear. And then I'll come back in 20 minutes or so and let us know what you think. We were reading through it and it was like, it was perfect. Anastasia started to cry.
I cried.
Like, cried.
I was so happy.
Oh, don't start. You'll get me bloody worked up. How did you get to that process of creating the profile? Like, because I'm guessing you read it and it had everything matched that you wanted on it.
So, yeah. So when you're there with the doctor, they pretty much, because obviously it's a computer system based on algorithms that sort of set you up, obviously, as information.
Okay, simple English, Samantha.
And so we obviously had mentioned lighter features, like blonde or brown hair, blue or green eyes. So, like, we had quite a, I guess we weren't really leaving it that open. So we were quite, we were a little bit more picky, but we had really talked over that thing of wanting her to look like both of us, sort of thing.
Yeah, so if we would actually have a baby together, what our baby would look like.
Yeah, because, you know, you forget that's the beauty when a female and a male has a baby, they're genetically, you know, look like each other, but with two girls you don't have that. So yeah, fair enough, I'll do the same thing.
So you are actually allowed to be quite picky, and I mean, you may as well be as honest as you want. You know, it's a hell of a journey. At least get it right straight off the bat, you know. I mean, either way, I know that you're gonna love the child that you have. And everyone's different, but for us it was just wanting to protect her, I guess, as best as we could.
So the clinic that we went to was Fertility Plus. They came recommended from one of our other gay couples to a woman who are married, and they're actually having their second baby in June.
Yeah. Wow.
That's really nice. So they recommended us to go to that particular clinic, and Fertility Plus, they're absolutely amazing. They super super friendly, they're super super professional, and they just made the whole journey so much more enjoyable, because it is a nerve-wracking sort of situation that you have no idea what you're signing up for and things like that, and you talk before you jump, sort of thing. But of course, at the end of the day, you just need to like just go for it. And they make it very, very comfortable.
It's judgment-free. Like, even when we were with the counsellor, and once we had read through the profile, and we were, I mean, obviously crying is a good sign. So obviously we were like, yes, we don't need to see. Like, it's meant to be, pretty much. Like, it was just meant to be. And once she came back in, like, just so lovely. We spoke for another hour, and then she decided that we didn't need to do any further counseling sessions. Like, she was totally happy with meeting us and spending that extra time, and just happy for us to get on with it, really. Because then it is up to you, because you have an annual fee. So we were told we had six sperm rounds. So you pay your annual fee and it just sits on ice. And you can pretty much get into the process whenever you're ready. So we didn't even need to necessarily jump straight on it, but obviously being excited and being at that point and where we were in our lives, like we had nothing holding us back. We just had a clear year of, hey, let's do this. So we started our journey, and a journey it was. it's not easy. Like there are a lot of ups and downs, but that comes with getting pregnant, and even for straight couples going through IUI or IVF, or even just generally being able to have sex and trying to have babies, like it's not as easy as everyone
you start to understand that it's not black and white. There are so many things that can happen before or after, and you know, like it took us 3 rounds to actually get pregnant. It took us on the third time, it stuck. But then you just kind of go, you think, and it's very funny, just because with nurses as well, like no matter how nice they were, you know, you shouldn't, this is my own personal opinion, you shouldn't overpromise stuff ever. So when the first time we were there and she was like, oh, easy, you're nice and young and healthy, like, you know, like I'll just do it proper and that's it. And this is what your mentality is, just kind of goes, okay, like that's it, like we're there. And after, when you find out that no, you're not pregnant, it didn't work or it didn't stick, or you just kind of go, well, hold on a second. But then you can't emotionally, that drains you, because you were like 100 and after this you go, oh well, hold on, it didn't work. And you go again, and then something happens again, which is like a little gray area. We don't really know.
You're pregnant, but it's something's gone wrong, and it's probably not going to stick, sort of thing, which is worse. I would rather not be pregnant. It's definitely a roller coaster. The second round was really hard for us, finding out that it had worked. You're pregnant, but something's happened, and yeah, it's not going to stick. It's pretty much how they sort of go about it, because you're nervously waiting for those phone calls. You know, it's that's the other thing. You're not just going and peeing on a stick. It's all like blood tests and phone calls. So it's nerve wracking. I mean,
they have to wait for another month if it doesn't work or if something happens, and it's all like it's pins and needles all the time. And at first, when you do find out that it didn't work, you can't just go, oh well, let's try again tomorrow, sort of thing, because it's such a shock to your just system, to your well-being, and to your mental
body. Obviously as well, like we're very lucky, we do have good jobs, but obviously you're paying for each cycle as well, so you get that bill in the mail of, and that it's the extra reminder of, oh, it didn't work, but we'll pay.
You know, oh, shit, so I didn't get pregnant this time. That's right. Oh, here you go. Here's my money anyway.
Yeah, here's my money. Here's my thousands. So there's that other element to it as well.
Yeah.
That payment method.
We've got to the point that, well, that was me personally, that I just kind of go, okay, well, I know that we're not going to give up, and I know that we're going to get there. But just because we went through IUI, and they say that if on a third time, like third time is the highest chance to get pregnant. If you don't get pregnant on a third time, it goes back down. Yeah. So what they say that after IUI, if third time didn't work, you need to go through IVF.
Well, think about IVF.
So can I ask a question? What's the difference between the two?
So IUI is, so they do an internal examination when you're ovulating to ensure that you have eggs. And then on that prime day of ovulation, they inseminate with like a small tube, like a catheter tube, right the way up into your uterus. So that's IUI. And IVF is where they actually extract your eggs and inseminate outside of your body, and then they reinsert.
IUI is more natural.
Yeah,
it's more like a turkey-based sort of.
Like, yeah, I was going to say it's more like getting something and sticking it up rather than bringing everything in, right?
Absolutely. Like you can, if you choose to do it at home, you can do it at home.
Yeah.
Basically, that's it.
They said they'll give you a home kit as well if you wanted to. But I feel like when you're paying that much money, you may as well get a doctor to ensure that you're hitting the right spot. It's not the G spot that you're after.
Yeah, so there's only a couple of other spots that aren't familial, if not those ones. So might as well get a doctor to do it.
I feel like that's such a, like, you know, a thing, because you've got, like, say you've got the sperm at home, and then say you're having sex, right, and you want to make this baby, like, between you two. But I feel like it would be so unromantic. Like, I don't know what you'd put it on, but you'd be like, I don't know, is this right? Is this wrong? I have no idea.
Exactly.
It always reminds me of one of those episodes, one of the first few seasons of The L Word, and when Bette and Tina were trying to get pregnant at home.
Oh, you're true lesbians, you two, or you're into that world because you know about The L Word. Okay, yeah. Yeah, keep going.
Lived on it. Come on.
That's where you learn everything, right?
All my things. Yeah.
What were you saying about Bette and Tina?
They were doing the insemination by themselves at home a couple of times.
Turkey baster,
yeah. So this is every time when we talk about that, doing it at home, this is what it reminds me of. Of the simpler times, you know, watching L Word, being about 10 years younger.
Jeez, those are the days.
So obviously we got pregnant on the third round, which was very exciting. We waited 14 weeks before we told anyone, because after that second time, we really wanted to ensure that it was stuck, and she was gonna come and meet us. So that was it. Pregnant. Easy.
So I've got a couple of questions. What happens with, like, the dad now? Like, so you have no idea what his identity is, right? That's a secret.
So the profile that we got was, it is quite in depth. It was about 4 pages. Yeah. And it gives you not only his details, but siblings and parents, and down to what they do, down to their eye color. Like, it's very in depth.
So you just don't see the photo. Yeah, you don't see the photo.
That's
the
only thing.
Yeah. And towards the end, the donor has an option, or a blurb where they say if they're happy to meet you and meet the child and how they want to go. So with our donor, the circumstances are that if we want to meet him, we can. However, he's only wanting to meet us and the baby when she is young, so as a baby, so that obviously Switch doesn't remember him. So we haven't really decided if we want to go down that avenue yet. But the other cool thing with the clinic is so we've got a form that will go to him, and it lets him know that somebody has had a child with his donation.
Wow.
Successful. Yeah. So yeah, completely up to the donor is what I'm saying, yeah.
Do you get to see how many other children he has? Like, how often his sperm is given out?
I don't think he had any others.
I think it's at the clinic, I believe. Yeah, I don't think he had any other. He just had given the 6, and we got the 6. Awesome. Because we want to use it for the next 3 for the next round.
But you definitely can ask all that
stuff. Yeah, but you can. I think the clinics say for donors, max is 3 couples, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do have a cap on it.
Are you never, like, worried? Because my thing, well, I guess you guys aren't islanders, so it wouldn't really matter. But my thing would be, like, because I've got such a big family, I'd be afraid that the person I might be related to or something. Because you don't see their name or their face, right? You just see details. What happens if you, like, are, like, related in a way? How do you even know that?
We've not really thought of that, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm pretty good because I'm the only child in the family. My mum is the only child in the family, so I'm solid.
Well, we know that we've got his donation, which we're thankful for, and we know that he doesn't actually have any kids of his own. So, and he expressed that he didn't want kids. Very business orientated.
Oh, okay.
So I guess we haven't really had to worry about too much about it in that regard.
Shout out to him, though. What a cool thing he did. Because he doesn't get paid for it. He's just given his sperm. So that's, that's amazing. So is the plan, Anastasia, for you to carry next? And will it be the same sperm? Is that something you can do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose? Like, because you said you only get six, he only had six rounds, right?
Yeah.
What happened if, Sam, you needed the six rounds?
So the clinic, they can go and ask him for more. And if he's happy to, he can donate. If not, then it would be a case of a hit and miss sort of thing. So then you'd go back on the donor list.
Yeah.
Looking for another donor, really. Is how
if you want more kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's cool if you're the same donor, because then your kids will be biologically related. That's cool.
And that's what we're after. So yeah, that's hence why we pay our annual on ice fee, just for that reason.
It's really expensive to keep sperm on ice. You know that
damn sperm is so valuable, isn't it? Those people just throwing it out willy nilly. Jeez,
you just gotta pump them out, pump out the babies.
Crazy. Well, I'm glad that you guys are here. You've got a little beautiful baby. So shout out to that guy, whoever. You don't even know what his name is, do you?
No.
Let's call him Enrique. That's a hot name. Shout out, Enrique. So you're here. So I want to know, because I haven't really spoken to you guys. We've been on lockdown, so I haven't been able to meet Sashi at all, talk to about how motherhood's going. I mean, my sister had a baby 4.5 months ago, so I only really know motherhood through that and everything she's experiencing. But I want to know how it's going with a mum role. Like, how are you both finding it?
I don't know. I think for me personally, I think that it's a little bit harder for a woman. We went to antenatal classes. So first of all, if you're pregnant, I highly recommend antenatal classes, because you're in a group, you meet people who are going through the same journey with you that as you are. And you understand that it's okay not to know things, and it's okay to kind of have no idea what you signed up for, because there is, it's a support group, and you're going through all of this together. What we found that it was really, really cool, and we want to see more of, we were not the token lesbian couple there.
Oh, cool. Amazing.
That is absolutely awesome. So there was another lesbian couple there, and they've had the baby as well. It was a little bit different with them, because from our conversations, they actually had a friend who donated his sperm. Mm-hmm. So, and that was amazing as well. It's interesting because you have two lesbian couples in the antenatal class. And then you see that the person who's taking it, they actually watch how they talk to you, to the class now. So because you can't say
mother, father,
and you can't say, like, you shouldn't be saying that in the first place in this day and age. But you can see that, like, your brain is ticking how to, you know, kind of approach. So we are the support people. That's what your partner is called, the support person, the pregnant one, the support one.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit, I don't know. I think that for women, it will be a little bit harder than for a guy, because we are a lot more emotional normally. So for me, I want to have the connection, like, that I was actually a little bit scared, because you just kind of go, well, okay, but what if I'm not going to have the connection that I'm supposed to have?
Yeah.
Which, after speaking to some of the guys, they were exactly the same. But then I still think that there is something for a mum and a mum is, I'm just, should I be doing more? Am I, you know, like, you all, it's always this overthinking sort of thing. But I'm really lucky, because Sammy makes it really easy. And I see, like, when I need to take baby off her, it's really good. We heard some funny stories that apparently the support person, if you are a woman, you can lactate after the birth. But I think for that, so next time when I'm pregnant and I'm breastfeeding, she might be lactating. So it's like a couple of,
we can both breastfeed.
So it's a couple of, like, cool things that you just kind of go, oh, okay.
What do you mean? Like, is that just like a human body thing, or is, do you mean?
Yeah, it's a woman body thing.
It's a hormonal response. So, yeah. So if Anastasia wanted to, she could have tried to lactate, and there's certain methods that you use. So that, yes, she could have breastfed as well. And they say because I've had a baby and I've been breastfeeding.
Yeah.
That once Anna is pregnant, my body will probably naturally start lactating, producing those hormones anyway. It's quite crazy.
It's a lot of interesting stuff.
It's just amazing, really, how amazing the female body is.
Right, and Sam, how are you going with motherhood? Are you enjoying it? You loving it?
I love
it. So natural.
Yeah, I love it. Oh my god, it's the best thing ever in the entire world. I really struggled with being pregnant, mainly because I was sick morning and night for like 23 weeks. Mm. So I struggled with pregnancy. And obviously not being able to keep as fit as I usually am. Like, I struggled with getting bigger. But at the end of the day, like, as soon as she lands on your chest, I would never take it back. I would do it again if I had to. Like, it's just the best. It's hard work, but it's the best.
You've got this on recording, yeah? You recorded that?
Yep, this is all recorded.
I would do it again if I had to. If I had to, I would do it again. But it's just because they're so worth it. Like, it's just beautiful.
I also wanted to ask, like, if there may be a couples listening, or you know what, even singles that are listening that want to go into IUI or IVF or anything like that, want to have a baby, do you have any advice for them?
Do it. Yeah, just go in and talk to the clinic. Like we were saying, they're so lovely and supportive. And they'll run you through everything and all the right tests and everything that you need to undertake. So just don't be afraid, just do it. And also for single woman wanting to have a child, again, just do it. Just find that support person, whether it be a family member or a best friend. They're very, very open. Like, you're always allowed to have that person with you, so why would you not?
And guys, if you're listening, please give your sperm. Appreciate it. Look how many lives you're changing.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. We need more donors. Absolutely.
Definitely need more donors. Like, they do say, I think we were very lucky. Like, it is a 2 to 3 year waiting list, and we know people. I currently have friends that are waiting. They I hope they don't mind me saying this, they received a round of sperm from a donor that they were interested in, and unfortunately it didn't quite work out the way that they wanted it to, and they're back on the list waiting for that right sperm donor again. So yeah, definitely get in there early, Danny. Yeah. 2 to 3 years. Get in there early, but yeah, definitely need more donors. More donors. Mm. More generous men and women as well. There are egg donors out there for straight and lesbian and male couples as well. So both, really.
Yeah, down here, kids.
Yeah.
Not even for just gay couples, eh? Just for people that want to have babies that can't.
Can't, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's definitely a gift. It's one hell of a gift.
Absolutely. And then you just kind of, you still go, as a donor, you still go through the whole process. So there's still a lot of support people there for you, that nobody's going to push you into something that you don't want to do if you change your mind or whatever it is. Nobody's going to be at your doorstep, but I don't know, 16 years later saying you need to pay me this much money because this is your child or whatever. There was no drama. All the donors are very, everything is very confidential. Everybody is super protected, and it's if you don't have the courage to do it, don't talk to somebody about it. It's a lot easier, obviously, said than done, because I've had a conversation with a couple of my friends, and one of the guys actually turned around and said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And I was like, okay, this was way too fast. I was like, I want you to go home and please talk to your family, talk to your friends, and actually think about it properly, because you have one extreme that people don't actually think about it, and they kind of go, oh, cool. And you have the other extreme who are way too overprotective of things like that.
Yeah.
So if we have more people who actually just go from one extreme to another and then meet in the middle, like, that will be helping out a lot of people out there. Yeah. Gay sprays or otherwise.
We can joke about it and we can be like, ah, your sperm, I just need it. But really, it's a massive thing. Like, you're reproducing. So it is a big thing to think about and take into consideration a lot of things, you know.
We had, we saw one of the posts on Instagram that one of the lesbian couples from the States, they were actually giving away free sperm. So this is, they had some kind of competition or they were in business, I don't know, with some of, one of the fertility clinics, but this is how easy it is in the States.
Crazy.
They give away free sperm. You know, when you come to New Zealand, Australia, New Zealand, and, you know, it's a lot harder.
But I think we're lucky in that sense. It's harder, but we're more protected.
Yeah.
If things are properly, and you're not just going to have one guy that's donated 16 times and you have a child and your neighbour has, a child related, you know, like you're not going to have that. So we're lucky. Like, it's harder, but it's worth it.
Yeah, the kid might grow up and have like 100 brothers and sisters or something.
Exactly. You know?
Hey, we are all one big happy family at the end of the day, aren't we?
I'm going to ask you girls a Dear Diary question. Is that all right? It's a question that's come through from one of the listeners. There's no wrong answer. Just answer how you want. But this one is, Dear Diary, can you be in love with two people at once? Answer how you wish.
As in, I can be like, I'm in love with her and myself. Was that?
I don't think that you should always be in love with yourself, but I don't think that's what they probably mean.
There was a really good little saying about that. If you're in love with two people, that means that you're not truly in love with the first person or something. Or if you love the second person, you're not really in love with the first person. I don't think that being in love. You can be in love with two people. You can love people, not being in love.
Yeah, I agree. I'm all for the fact that you can love many people, but to be in love, if there's that one person that you are truly in love with, and
who's your person?
I have two now. I have two, but yeah, no. So yeah, just the one, I think. Personally,
I know that saying that you're talking about, it's the one where if you're truly in love with someone, you can never fall for anybody else because you're so in love with that person. I think that's the same.
You see, you just get me. You just get me.
Well, I have been your friend for a long time now, so I have kind of deciphered your Russian English slash.
You can translate. That's amazing.
Yeah, we got there in the end. But all right, I'll let you guys go. Thank you so much. I've learned a lot from this episode. Like, I feel like when I'm ready to go and get pregnant, I know what to do. So thank you for that.
And we're here to support. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys have been through it. So I've got some pros on my team. Also, you guys have a cute little page that you have to get it together at the Cultsovers on Instagram, right?
That's the one.
Yes.
At the Cultsovers.
Yes. That _ Cultsovers. Yes. Yeah. This is our... It used to be all about, you know, just us traveling and all that sort of stuff. And now it's just a proper family page, really.
Yeah, I was actually having a wee look at it before. It's quite cute how you've got little pictures of Sasha and then you scroll down and there's you two pashing.
We're all about class.
Yeah, a little bit for everyone, you know?
A bit for everyone, that's exactly it. Yeah, a bit for everybody.
Well, if you want to go and check them out, is your DMs always open for people if they have questions for you two?
Absolutely. That's why we have that
badge. Cool. Amazing. Well, Sasha did a very good job at sleeping through the whole thing. Yep. Thanks, little bubba. Now I'm going to go and she's probably going to wake up.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What are you two? What's the plans for the next little bit? Any plans? I mean, we're in lockdown right now, so probably not much.
If we could go for round two, we would, but in lockdown, it's just...
There's a lot of pressure going on in this house. Let's go for number two. I was like, okay, how about we just deal with number one first?
Yeah, at the moment, it's just dealing with number one.
I think I'm just going to enjoy my time with family, really. Mm. I think I understand the circumstances couldn't be better. But could be better, yes. But for me, having this time off and actually being here with my family and being here with Sasha for her first month or so and not just 24/7, I consider myself really, really lucky with this whole lockdown thing. So if we are in lockdown for the next 2 or 3 weeks, good.
Yeah, see, blessings in disguise. I've actually got a few friends in the same situation where they've just had babies and usually they'd be back at work. But this, you know, this cool for Sam as well. You get to experience it with Anastasia and vice versa. You get to see each other's roles. And this is really cool because you wouldn't have got that otherwise. No. You know, you'd be at work and you wouldn't be experiencing it at all. So, yeah, like I said, a little blessing in disguise. So that's so, so cool. Absolutely. But I'll just leave you guys on if you want to say anything to anyone. You got some advice. You've got like a wee little motto or mantra or whatever you want to leave it with. I'll leave the mic for you.
Oh, you leave her open and she doesn't want to talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, God, Anastasia, I thought you'd come through with something
that's
really
very
nice.
That's a lot of pressure.
No, just get in touch with us if you have any questions about fertility or any other couple questions or baby questions or anything. Like you said, you've given out the handle, so... Yeah, we're happy to help.
Well, Anna, you're speechless. Okay.
I know.
I wasn't prepared for that.
It doesn't happen often. I know. I wasn't either. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll leave you two to it. Thank you so much for your time. Jenny. Thank you for being on the episode. Love to Sasha. Give her a big kiss. And I'll see you guys soon when this is all over, all right?
Sounds good. Yay. Love you, Danny. Bye.
Love you guys. Love and light.